Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the cold and windy suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today on RBN. Their website is republicbroadcasting.org. My website is spingola.com. During the program, please email your questions or comments to spingola1@yahoo.com. You may join others in the Spingola chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, spingola.com, or by going to spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Dr. Ann B. Tracy. She is the author of Prozac Panacea or Pandora. Her website is drugawareness.org. Ann, welcome to the program. Oh, okay. She's not going to be ready until after the first break. Okay, let's talk about some of the things that are going on. Very interesting. Over the weekend, there was an exclusive wherein a New York newspaper published the legal gun permit holders in print as well as online. They also provided a map that indicated all of the addresses of these gun permit holders, which is absolutely atrocious. That is just my word, unbelievable. And other things in the news that I find very interesting. On the 18th of this month, Sandy Hook Massacre. This was an article written by Niall Bradley and talks about the official story and it's spinning out of control. And there's so many stories that we've all heard on the mainstream media, and there are just too many questions about these stories. If you look at it closer, then you find, for instance, there were 20-year-old, let me just read this, a 20-year-old tech geek named Adam Lanza is supposed to have snapped early on December 14th, shot his mother, Nancy Lanza, with a loaded gun, loaded up her car with her guns and ammo. Then he drove across town to his former school, the Sandy Hook Elementary School. He shot 27 people in two classrooms and an adjoining hallway, then turned one of the guns on himself. Now, that's what we mostly remember. But if you really look at some of the things that were reported afterward, it just doesn't make sense. For instance, the principal of the school her name was Dawn. She was 47-year-old, Dawn Hochsprung, and she is supposed to have been one of the people that were killed first. She was the principal, as I mentioned. And then you find in the Newtown Bee, that date, December 14th, that Sandy Hook principal Don Hochsprung told the Bee that a masked man entered the school with a rifle and started shooting multiple shots, more than she could count, then went on and on. Well, if she was one of the first ones dead, how could she still be alive when the police arrived? Further, there were no rifles found by the so-called perpetrator, Adam Lanza, but there were others who apparently escaped, at least two others. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with our guest today, Ann B. Tracy. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ann B. Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. That website is drugawareness.org. Welcome to the program, Ann.
Thank you very much.
All righty. There's just so much news about this situation, and there's also a lot of various perceptions at which we can look at it through, kind of a lens about whoever we happen to be reading. And but you cover one specific area.
Yep, I certainly do. We've documented that at least 69 school shooting incidents were associated with antidepressant use. That's over the past 2 decades.
Right, and that's
started... We have a database posted at ssristories.com if anybody wants to pull that up. All but 3 of those are posted there, so you'll find 66 of them posted.
Oh. SS?
SSRIstories.com.
Okay. Great. Thank you for that. And we know, of course, that antidepressants are really pretty awful. They do more damage than they do more to make the pharmaceutical industry rich, and they do very little to help people.
Well, that's a nice way to put it.
Right. Now,
they're very dangerous drugs, and people just are not informed. Many doctors have no clue. In fact, the largest single group I've got facing horrible problems with these drugs are doctors and nurses and their family members.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
So they buy into the idea that these drugs are good, which indicates their level of brainwashing.
Right. In fact, I've heard that a lot of drug reps are coming in and telling doctors that, and nurses, that they're in a very stressful profession, and they may as well start treating that stress right now before it turns into deep depression by starting on the antidepressants. And they're falling for that old sales line, apparently.
Oh, my. Everybody has stress in their life. That doesn't mean we all need to pop pills.
I know. But that's what's happening.
And then, of course, this does create some problems in society and within families. And then they address those problems, and then the governments, local and federal, want to address those problems by imposing more tyranny. Wouldn't you agree? Did we lose our guest?
Oh, hi, I'm here. Sorry. Ask me again.
Okay, so we have all of these. We have the pharmaceutical industry that is pushing all of these drugs on people, and then they get all these people hooked on drugs because they are very addictive, and then you have, and of course we know that the pharmaceutical companies are in bed with the federal government, and so then we have all these crises that the federal government then needs to come in and address by imposing tyranny and tyrannical policies on the public. It seems like it's one of those situations where you have a problem that you then address a solution that the people would not have accepted to begin with.
Right. In fact, I called the NRA clear back in 1992, and I said, you need to help me educate the public about the dangers of antidepressants, because if you don't, they will be the means by which violence is created to the extent that they can actually take the guns and institute martial law.
Yeah.
And we're right in the middle of it now.
Certainly.
And that's exactly what's happening, but people don't understand that these drugs are almost identical in action to PCP, angel dust. It's a slow fuse process. You don't have it initially, but as the serotonin level rises, that's what PCP mimics to produce its hallucinogenic effects. The same with LSD. They mimic serotonin. So as these drugs slowly increase the level of serotonin, you begin having LSD and PCP experiences.
Wow. Oh, my. And, of course, that is if we accept the idea that Lanza actually did the shooting. And there are certainly theories about whether he did the shooting or whether he was just a patsy.
Yeah, there were those theories with every school shooting from the very beginning. Because nobody can believe that these drugs can do the kinds of things that they do. I mean, who was it that they sent in to the Reno mother, who was like 58 or so, that stabbed her husband 200 times? That's the kind of strength that you get on these drugs. Can you imagine any human being able to have the strength to stab somebody 200 times?
Yes, that is that is rather overkill, isn't it?
Yeah, and it worked. But Paxil did it for her.
And yet there's no real outcry except for people like you who are attempting to alert the public of these dangers. And then you have on the other side, you have the mainstream media, promotes these drugs with very little reference to the side effects. And you have all of these TV commercials.
Who are their biggest advertisers? That's the advertisers. When I did the Lisa Gibbons show, clear back in 1999, we did it on the subject of mothers on these so-called medications killing their children. And as we walked on the stage, we were told that we could use the word antidepressant, but we could not say the names, the brand names of the medications, because of their advertisers.
Oh, my.
They made it really clear. You know, they can't afford to lose their advertisers, so they don't cross them.
And of course, the people, the population, are just redundant. I mean, it's not about protecting us. It's about protecting big money, big pharma, big government.
True.
Wow.
It's a mess. In fact, there was an article that came out in the Atlantic Monthly magazine. Oh, was it December, November? I think it was November of 2010, so 2 years ago now. And it was an interview with the world's leading expert on medical research. He oversees all the medical research that's done. And he said that he's alarmed because at that point, he believed that 90% of medical research is bogus because of influence from the industry, turning them basically into infomercials instead of real research, just to promote their products. And he said he is not sure if medical science can even recover from it. If you look at that, you know, how many people are going to doctors every day that are relying on this research that's 90% incorrect? Would you take your car to a mechanic that's relying on information on your car that's 90% incorrect and he's supposed to fix it? We're taking our bodies and the bodies of our loved ones to these doctors that are relying on information that's incorrect.
Right, and of course, they really don't have any scientific evidence or any real blood tests that can verify what psychiatrists are attempting to medicate their patients with, and so they just keep trying all of these various products without any evidence at all that they might be beneficial. In fact, most are not. I don't know of any that is beneficial.
No, in fact, with these drugs, they hid the initial research that they did for 20 years. Somebody finally found it and brought it out to the press about 4 years ago. And their own research shows there's no more benefit with these medications than there is a sugar pill. No benefit. And yet, you've got side effects as deadly as suicidal and homicidal ideation. Now, why is it okay to have prescription drugs on the market that can cause you to kill yourself or kill someone else. Ideation is not, okay, suicidal and homicidal ideation is not just killing yourself or killing someone else. It's having constant ruminating thoughts about killing and about various methods in which to kill, which is why they generally have an entire arsenal, because all those things keep going through their mind.
Right. All righty, we are going to a quick 3-minute break. We will be right back with Ann B. Tracy, the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora, after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Our guest today is Ann B. Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. That website is drugawareness.org. And the other website that you mentioned are the stories, let me, SSRIstories.com.
Right.
Now, you mentioned that you went to the National Rifle Association back in 1991 or 92?
92.
Okay. And how did they respond to your request?
They weren't the least bit interested. Didn't even begin to get it, I guess.
Who was the president of that association at the time?
I don't even know. I don't remember. Contacted so many different agencies, I'm lucky if I remember who I contacted.
Okay.
I know AA could have cared less, too, because the first thing that I saw with these drugs was the overwhelming craving for alcohol. And
really?
Because I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah at the time, and of course, most of the people there are LDS, Mormon. So part of their religion is they don't drink alcohol. Well, here were people that had never tasted alcohol in their lives becoming alcoholic almost overnight. I went, wait a minute, what's going on here? And they all had a prescription for Prozac, because that was the first one out. But it does it with all the others as well. And when I looked at the research, I found that when you increase serotonin levels, one thing you do is produce overwhelming cravings for alcohol. You produce mania as well, and there's one form of mania that is described as dipsomania, which means overwhelming cravings for alcohol. So the pieces of the puzzle are there.
I find that very interesting that people who have never tasted alcohol before would have a craving. I mean, I crave chocolate all the time, but it's because I've eaten it and I know what it does
right.
for me. But I've never had.
I remember one woman, one young mom just said, you know, I don't even know how I knew it was alcohol I was craving because I've never tasted it in my life. But she just became a lush. Her husband had to quit work to take care of their two little kids. So while she drank all the time and she couldn't stop, she'd gone to her church leader saying, I don't know what's wrong. I can't. Luckily, I ran across him one day on a suicide case and mentioned, and he said, can you help her? And I said, I think so. And she started weaning down off of Prozac and all those cravings went away. Never had trouble since.
Oh, my. Now, I wonder if Senator Mike Crapo, who was recently arrested while under the influence of alcohol, is on Prozac or has been on any kind of drugs, because from a story that I read, he's actually a Mormon bishop.
That's right. He immediately got an email from me.
And did he respond?
No, it was Christmas Eve. I sent it to his office, so he may not even have it yet.
Right.
But it would not surprise me at all. And he's not the first senator I've run into with that same problem. So, in Australia, we know that 25% of their parliament are taking these drugs. I'm sure it's higher here in the U.S.
Amazing. And you would think that they would have some sort of knowledge, given their association with the pharmaceutical industry, that a lot of what they put out and a lot of what the FDA approves is nothing but garbage. And you'd think that these people would stay away from that. I guess it just shows how these people are.
Well, it shows what a good brainwashing job the pharmaceutical companies can do. They've learned that marketing is everything. That's why they spend more on marketing and have for a long time than they do research.
Right. Now, I think it's important because I know you've already touched on the association between people who are taking these horribly dangerous drugs and guns. But I think it's really important that we say right up front that there are more people who prevent crime because they do have a gun in their possession. And so I think it's important that we...
Well, that's just it. You know, when I grew up, my great-great-grandfather was the mayor of Tombstone during the OK Corral days. Wyatt Earp was his sheriff. Johnny Ringo was his buddy. So I grew up with guns. They were all over. We took guns to school. We had Western Day. We'd wear guns on our hips going to school. There weren't school shootings. It didn't happen. The only difference are these drugs. That is the biggest difference there is. And it's the biggest common denominator in any of these shootings. So we've got to pay attention to that. But in saying that, too, and in saying these things, I realize I'm coming on pretty strong here this morning. But I'm just so sick and tired of seeing people die for no good reason and being lied to about these things. It's time to look at the cold, hard facts.
Certainly. All righty.
But withdrawal is terrible. So let's talk about that next.
All righty. We'll be right back after a quick word from our sponsor. Stay tuned. Is Ann B. Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. The website is drugawareness.org, and also the other website associated with this is SSRIstories.com. I have a link on today's date on my schedule page. It says guns make us less safe. And if you want kind of a laugh, you can go and look at this hypocrisy. It's very interesting that the very same people who are attempting to take our guns away, in fact, carry guns. Dianne Feinstein has carried a gun for some time, and yet she is currently attempting to take away our guns. And we were talking before we went to the break about... What were we talking about?
I mentioned withdrawal. I think it's important to talk about that. But before we go to that, since you brought that up, everyone might want to go to drugawareness.org and go to the videos and watch what Michael Moore had to say after reading my book.
Okay, and that's right at the top. The video link is right up at the top. Is that the link where we will find that?
And he came right out and said, when we did the movie Bowling for Columbine, we listed all the reasons why society was saying Columbine happened. And he said, none of them made any sense. The only thing that does are these drugs. So
it certainly is a common denominator. And as we mentioned before, it's that old problem reaction solution kind of a theory or tactic that... that we've heard so much about, where you want to create a problem, then you want a reaction. And the media is certainly exacerbating this by constantly telling us about and showing us pictures of the poor children who were allegedly shot. And we have all kinds of people demanding a reaction, a solution, and the government is already prepared one for us, and they'll just come and confiscate our guns, and certainly by issuing a list of the gun owners, as they've done in New York, in certain counties in New York, their neighbors are really going to want some action against these people.
Hmm. Well, all I can say is I tried to tell everyone.
Right. Okay, and you talked.
Pretty simple math.
Go ahead.
I just said it's pretty simple math.
Right.
When you put prescription drugs out on the market and everybody and their brothers pushing them, and they become as widespread in use as these are, what do you expect?
Well, I think actually, I'm going to make probably a controversial statement here. I think that prescription drugs are a lot more dangerous than smoking pot or something else like that.
Right. Well, most people don't realize that most of the illegal drugs out there started out as prescription drugs. And then everybody said, whoops, these don't work. There's a problem here, and they ended up illegal drugs. But we tend to think that just because they're prescription drugs, they're safer, and they're not. We're the guinea pigs until we find out how dangerous they actually are.
Okay, now repeat that. You said that most of the prescription
most
drugs...
Most of the illegal drugs started out as prescription drugs.
Okay.
So like LSD was being prescribed by the finest obstetricians in Salt Lake City. I know that, because they thought it was so safe, until Congress ended up having to pull it off the market. PCP was out for 7 years before it was pulled, and it was actually the court system and law enforcement that got that one pulled, because they were tired of dealing with all the violence it created. You won't find the MA trying to pull these. I don't know why.
Huh. And so Congress was aware that a lot of these drugs were very, very dangerous, and yet they keep funding. It is actually Congress that funds a lot of these so-called research for these drugs as well as other drugs.
No, Congress doesn't fund research. It's very rare that they fund research. Who funds the research are the drug companies. They research their own drugs, and then they tell us what they supposedly found. And that's why so many of them are getting into trouble, because they can mold the research any way that they want. If it's going south on them, they don't have to report it. And when they don't report it, we don't find out about it. I mean, there's a lot in my book that are unreported studies that they've decided that they're not going to continue because they didn't like what they were finding out. One is the way it accumulates in brain tissue at an astounding rate. And people wonder why they have so many adverse effects for so long after coming off the drugs. And you have to be so careful in how you come off of them. If you come off too quickly, you'll end up a patient of theirs for the rest of your life, because you won't realize that you're going into horrible withdrawal that can cause all kinds of problems. And you go into really bad panic and anxiety. And, of course, you go to an emergency room. They tell you that you're starting back into your symptoms and you need to go back on your drug, which isn't true. It's the withdrawal.
Wow. Well,
you don't want to go into cold turkey withdrawal.
I have a friend that has been trying to get off Prozac for 6 years, and I haven't talked to her about this recently, but that was a year ago. And
she doesn't have my CD on how to get off them. If you got the information that I've got in my withdrawal CD on how to safely get off of these and successfully stay off of them, then you generally don't make it. Finding anybody that knows how to get people off of these drugs is, like, really hard. And it really concerns me because when we went back to testify to the FDA in 2004, I knew that there was enough evidence out there to get the drugs banned. And I was scared because I watched them ban Fen-Phen and Redux, which are also serotonergic drugs. And I saw the horrible withdrawal with those, the suicides, murder-suicides, which they never got held accountable for because nobody knew enough to relate those. And I thought, we're going to see the same kind of thing if they pull these drugs. What on earth are we going to do? Well, they ended up putting the black box warning on, which is the closest thing to banning the drugs. And they did put out a very strong warning on the withdrawal. They said, if you abruptly change the dose, now, that's whether you're going down off the drug, starting on the drug, switching medications from one to another. The result could be suicide, hostility, or psychosis.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful?
That
See why
amazing.
Nobody wants to come off? You have to go so slow to come off of these drugs the right way so that you don't end up back on another drug or an antipsychotic because you went psychotic coming off of them. But it's really scary. You've got to know what you're doing. Tell your friend to go get that CD. It goes for an hour and a half detailing exactly how we found the very safest way to come off because we've spent years working with people trying to get off. They've had to be the guinea pigs doing the trial and error. But
and
people don't need to keep being the guinea pigs. The information's there. Your poor friend. Six years trying to get off.
Yeah. And she would cut back, and then she would have sleepless nights. I mean, she'd have nights where, or a week where she wouldn't sleep at all. And
that's why
so
you go psychotic. Is because you cannot sleep in the withdrawal if you're coming off too quickly. I talk about just shaving tiny, tiny, tiny bits off. You've got to be really careful, and you got to know how long to take according to how long you've been on the drug.
Now, I've never been on any kind of drugs at all, but I do know that doctors, whether you're talking about a regular MD or a psychiatrist or whomever, they are just so willing to write a script, a prescription, without even evaluating anything about what's wrong with you, without talking to you. You know, they just figure, oh, you're under stress. Here, let me give you a pill.
I know. I worked one suicide case where the poor woman came in with abdominal pain, and she says, or pains in her stomach. Anyway, she said, you know, I don't know where this is coming from. So they gave her an antidepressant. And in no time, she shot herself while her son, on his birthday, was out back swimming in the pool. She was in the house shooting herself. So he came in to find her. And here, just a little 11-year-old kid finding his mom that had just shot herself. Well, in the autopsy, guess what they found? She had gallbladder problems.
Oh, my.
All
oh,
they
my
needed
goodness.
To do was take care of her gallbladder. And we've got so many cases like that. A little girl given antidepressants for warts. When she
Amazing.
Committed suicide and the family sued the drug company, of course, they tried to say, well, it wasn't their Zoloft that caused it. It was the
worst. Oh, my. Now, a question from the chat room from Rick. Would people on these drugs be more susceptible to other people's suggestions to commit violent acts?
In a way, yes. And that way is there is a sleep disorder that these drugs produce, called a REM sleep behavior disorder. What that means is paralysis is removed during the sleep state and you can act out nightmares. you can, and it also, they believe that higher levels of serotonin overstimulate the brainstem and can remove paralysis during sleep. So that allows you to get up and act those nightmares out. 86%. You hear that? 86% of the cases of that disorder that used to be rare are people taking an antidepressant. So you have the potential of getting up and acting out the nightmare that you're having. In fact, I'm probably posting later today the story of a school shooter and what happened to him and what he experienced was that REM sleep behavior disorder. He got up, and see, these usually happen early morning or middle of the night when you would expect somebody to be asleep. And that's when this one in Connecticut happened. And so where do your nightmares come from? What are they composed of generally? And that's the stuff that you're putting into your brain all day long. So if somebody's constantly putting this kind of stuff in that person's brain, and that's what they're dreaming or having a nightmare about, that's what's going to happen, because they're going to be acting that out. So, yeah, to that extent, they are more suggestible.
But it's not a conscious thing. What about drugs like Ambien?
Ambien also causes that REM sleep behavior disorder, and they're the ones that are getting all the press, and yet Ambien is in the same family as Valium and Xanax and Klonopin. Those drugs create 3% of what we're seeing in the REM sleep behavior disorder. But what you're not hearing is the antidepressants are involved in 86% of the cases.
Oh,
86%. So what you're hearing about Ambien, you can expect with antidepressants, but boy, you better really multiply it.
Oh, my. Well, I'm of the opinion that people shouldn't take any drugs at all. I really just think you just need to, you know, if you get a headache, drink some warm milk, or, you know, unless you're lactose intolerant or something. But
yeah, I was going to say, don't drink milk because it raises serotonin. If you can't metabolize it, it will cause the headaches.
Right. I usually try lemon juice or something. I usually just try to meditate or just take some real deep breaths or something. I just don't like to take anything.
A little pepper, hairline rubbed into the scalp. Well, that's what my daughter does for headaches.
Right. I mean, I don't get headaches a lot, but just I was just using that as an example.
Yeah.
I really just don't think that people ought to be medicating themselves. And so many people do. People that I know, just if they're having a bad time, they pop a Xanax or a Prozac, and I don't know that. Are you supposed to take these things every day? Well,
that's why the FDA says if you change the dose at all, and that's like skipping a day or a week and taking another one, you know, you're going to have a chance of going into any of those reactions. We've got a case, the only Paxil case, wrongful death case to ever go to court, was held in Cheyenne, Wyoming in 2001. I worked that case with Jerry Spence for quite a while, and then Andy Vickery took the case because Jerry wasn't sure he knew how to handle an antidepressant case that well. So Andy Vickery, who has filed so many of these cases, took it. He took it to court. And when he did, the jury, after seeing all the evidence, decided that this man, after taking only 2 Paxil and getting up the following morning after his second dose, thought his wife, daughter, baby, granddaughter, and himself. They said the 2 Paxil were the main cause.
Oh,
they awarded $8.4 million to that family.
Oh, my. Alrighty, we are going to a real quick break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ann Blake Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. The websites are drugawareness.org and SSRIstories.com. And you have a story, an article on your website regarding Lanza. And do we know yet what he was on, if he was on something?
The shooter in Connecticut?
Yes.
About what you just said. I'm sorry, my phone cut out for a second. We don't yet. It usually takes quite a while. Like with Columbine, we got lucky. A neighbor spoke out and said that Eric had just applied for military service, and they turned him down because of his antidepressants. So that's how we knew that he was on something. But like with the Atlanta day trader shooter, do you remember that case? It took us 6 months. He killed his family, then he went to a day trading office and shot a whole bunch of people.
Right.
It took 6 months before the police finally released that they had found Prozac pills scattered all over the van that he shot himself in.
Huh.
Yeah, I wonder if he just reached a point where he thought, well, these things certainly aren't working, and just threw them before he shot himself. I don't know.
Right. And, of course, with the the media being sponsored by all of these drug companies, the media
right.
is not really going to come out and say, well, it's because of these pharmaceutical drugs that this kid no. went on a rampage. Instead, they're going to say, oh, it's guns. We've got to take away guns, and we've got to have more gun control.
Right.
And, oh, my.
There was a shooting in a newsroom in Salt Lake City, and this was before Columbine. Was it before the Salt Lake Family History Library shooting? It was all right about that same time. One of the biggest news stations in the city. And the reason I know about these cases is I was living there at the time. But a woman on these drugs ran into their newsroom and started shooting. She killed one reporter that was pregnant. I think she was 8 months pregnant, so it killed both her and the baby. And you know that they, to this day, refuse to say anything about these drugs, ever. Ever. It just amazes me. And I know the woman was on them because the chief of police told me he wanted to have a press conference on them because he'd seen too many cases. He says, boy, I see them everywhere. But then his wife got cancer and we didn't get the press release done. But I was talking to him when Columbine was happening. And he said, do you think these drugs might be involved in this case? And I said, I don't generally have two people go off the deep end at the same time. But I said, if they kill themselves, it probably will be one of my cases. And about the time I was saying that to him, they were shooting themselves.
Oh, my. All righty. We are going to our 60-second top of the hour break. We will be right back after station ID. Spingola Speaks. Excuse me. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ann Blake Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. Her websites are drugawareness.org and SSRIstories.com. And over the break, I was thinking about alcohol and the fact that we have a lot of organizations that deal with alcoholism, Mothers Against Drunk Driving and other organizations. And of course, we went through a period of time in history in this country where there was prohibition. And yet it seems to me that there's a lot more problems, with prescription drugs than there is with alcohol.
Right. I know I've got a friend who got a ticket for eating, I think, and so she had to go to the little classes that they have. And she said the officer in charge of that said that they have so many DUIs. I think it was 150 that month. Out of the 150, I believe it was two that involved alcohol. All the rest were prescription drugs.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
And then couple that with people texting on their phone while they're driving. It's pretty dangerous to be out on the road.
And that's probably why so many of them text while they're driving, is because the patients have always called these "I don't give a damn" drugs.
Oh.
They just don't care about anything. A lot of them will come off because they realize that something will happen that they should react to, and they're not. Like, for instance, a child getting hurt and them needing to hurry and react to that. And instead, they just kind of take their time, and they realize that they need to be more on their toes, so they've taken themselves off of the meds because of that.
Right. But we also know, even from reading things about the opium drug wars in China and the fact that a group of people, a population, are much easier to control if they're numbed by drugs or alcohol or something else. So this is kind of a triple or quadruple whammy here when you're talking about legal drugs. And I think that with alcohol, too, you're deciding that you're going to drink, whereas with drugs, you actually have an authority figure that's telling you that you should have this drug. And people are so obedient to authority, particularly in this country, that they think it's okay.
Right. And what did Hitler use? He used fluoride.
Well, I don't think so. That is a myth. That's a myth. They always attribute everything to Hitler. Actually, it's projection. It's basically what they're doing in this country. And if somebody catches on to what they're doing, then they say, "Oh yeah, Hitler did it first." And that's
But it is a myth. Did it? I thought it was
myth.
Hungary that they poured it in the water there.
No.
Take over.
No, I think you just need to...
Maybe it's a myth.
Read accurate history.
But fluoride is the main active ingredient.
Oh, it is in these drugs?
Mm-hmm. It is in Prozac. I believe it is in Paxil. I'd have to look to see which ones actually have the fluoride component. But, yeah, Prozac for sure. It's the chemical name is fluoxetine hydrochloride.
Oh, my. All righty, we have to go to a break. We will be right back, and feel free to call in with questions or comments at 800-313-9443. Be right back. All righty, welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ann Blake Tracy, the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. Her websites are drugawareness.org and SSRIstories.com. And we will take your calls at 800-313-9443.
Before we do, can we talk a little bit? I know we've talked mainly about...
Yes, I lost you. Are you there? So what happened to our guest here? I'm not hearing her. I wonder if her battery ran out or what happened. Alrighty. Well, that's interesting. Okay, we're going to try and get our guest back. She wanted to talk about something, but we're not sure what she wanted to talk about. I was just, during the break, I was trying to find out what the who the president of the NRA was in 1992. I'm always curious about things like that. And meanwhile, while we're trying to get her back, let's take a look. Okay.
There, now I'm on. I heard it click me in.
Okay. So you wanted to talk
about something really important,
and so what was it?
I think it is important to, not everyone has the violent side effects, but there are so many others. Like, I had a mother contact me just last week wanting to know how to get her 6-year-old son off Zoloft. I thought, okay.
What was her 6-year-old son doing on that drug anyway?
I think they were giving it to him for autism.
Oh, my
goodness. Which they do regularly. Anyway, so the mother had mentioned that she was also on Zoloft, and I thought, okay, you just want to know how to get your son off. Well, after she listened to my CD on withdrawal, she got hold of me and she said, thank you so much. I had no idea that all these problems I've had for all this time I've been on this drug are related to the drug. They're all side effects. She had TMJ, I can't remember what else, but quite a few different things like that.
Okay, tell Vince what TMJ is.
TMJ is where the muscles in your jaw clench and you start grinding your teeth.
Okay.
So, but anyway, that's just one, because one of your main function of serotonin is constriction of muscle tissue. The very first thing we saw with the drug was muscle damage. But according to the research, on serotonin since the early 50s, we've found that elevated levels of serotonin are found in psychosis or schizophrenia, mood disorders like depression and anxiety, organic brain disease, which is brain damage, mental retardation, autism, Alzheimer's, violent nightmares, insomnia, substance abuse, arson, violent crime, suicide, impulsive behavior with no concern for punishment, reckless driving, which is where road rage came from, exhibitionism, hostility, argumentative behavior, which is why I call them the divorce bills. But those are the kinds of things that we've known to expect with all of these drugs. Fibromyalgia, you see that all the time with them. Hypoglycemia, the children, the first thing they saw with children born to these moms was hypoglycemia. The mothers have a 4 times greater chance of having a child with autism if they remain on the meds. So it just goes on and on. In fact, most of the lawsuits now are for the horrible birth defects.
Oh, really?
Children having to have emergency surgery for holes in their heart. Yeah.
Oh, my. Now, do these drugs make a person want to sleep a lot?
When you reach that point, you're in trouble. Yes, they do.
Well, I think you're in trouble the minute you take one of these things.
Well, yeah. I mean, that poor man only took 2 pills and killed his whole family and himself, so, yeah.
Right. Now, what gave you the interest in this particular subject? What motivated you to look into it?
It was the cravings for alcohol that I saw in people that first got me to look at it. And I've got a mom who has hypoglycemia. So I grew up with that, and in my opinion, I was supposed to die of cancer about 40 years ago, and I beat it using natural things. And I was going to be an MD at the time, but boy, that was a wake-up call for me. Anyway, my mom with hypoglycemia, I've always said, give me cancer again before I ever have to suffer hypoglycemia. That's got to be the worst disease there is, because it affects the brain and you can't think clearly to know what to do for yourself. And I've always felt that was the worst. Well, when I saw the cravings for alcohol, I knew it was dropping the blood sugar and causing hypoglycemic reaction. And so to me, that was the worst thing you could do to anybody. So I started looking into that and thought, well, they've got to stop this. They got to realize what they're doing. And then as I looked and learned more and more, it was just the 4 years I spent writing my book, I really needed an oxygen tank because every few minutes I was going, because I learned all of this stuff because I didn't know, just like everybody else. I didn't know in the beginning. It was shocking to learn all of this.
Right. But I'm just trying to figure out if how you just honed in on this idea. Was there somebody in your family that was
I had a couple of friends who were taking Prozac. They didn't know each other, but I knew both of them. And they both had these horrible cravings for alcohol, which was totally out of character for them.
Okay.
And it was them that kept saying, would you look into this drug? They instinctively knew it was probably coming from the drug or wondered. And finally, I heard the fear in their voice as they asked me to look into it. And I thought, well, I'll just go pick up a package insert and see what I can find. And sure enough, there was hypoglycemia listed. And I said, well, that's why it's causing that. It's, you know, that's what alcoholism is hypoglycemia. You're just trying to find a way to bring the blood sugar up quickly. That's why the Indians have such a high rate of alcoholism and diabetes. It's the weak pancreas running through their family lines.
And what causes that, the weak pancreas?
The weak pancreas? Oh, probably about 100 years of downing so much sugar.
Okay.
We consume way, way too much stress. The pancreas is the first organ hit by any kind of stress, whether it's chemical stress or physical stress or emotional stress, the pancreas reacts first and throws you into a blood sugar spin.
Mm-hmm.
And staying up late at night can do it. So we have the light bulb to keep us up at night and keep our blood sugar screwed up.
Right. And there's also, talking about Native Americans, a lot of them are very heavy because the government subsidies that they get on the reservations are nothing but a lot of carbohydrates, and it tends to pack on a lot of pounds, and then you have there's no employment on the reservations, and so even though they don't sell liquor on reservations, they make it, they have to walk off the reservation to get it at the local store down the road, 3 miles.
They have long called diabetes a white death because they didn't have any diabetes until the government brought in white sugar, white flour, and lard.
Right.
So they knew it was related.
Right. Yeah, white sugar is really our first drug.
It is. It's almost identical to cocaine.
Right. They process it in the same way that they process heroin.
Mm. Yeah, once I learned that we had sugar wars the same way we have cocaine wars and other drug wars, I thought, oh, my gosh. And then to learn how similar it is in action to cocaine, here you have these church meetings with youth groups teaching the kids. Cocaine is one of the strongest sexual stimulants you can find. So they'll teach these kids to, you know, be morally clean, live a good life, do this and this and this, and then they turn around and they serve them tons of refreshments that are nothing but sugar. I'm going, You're telling them that, and then you're turning around and you're giving them a sexual stimulant. That makes sense.
Right. And of course, we know that sugar feeds cancer, and they usually serve these. Well, I'll get back to it on the other side of the break. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, and then we'll take some calls. All right. Well, welcome back. I am Deanna. Our guest today is Ann Blake Tracy, and we do have a couple questions from the chat room. Let me make my comment that I was going to make before we went to the break. Sugar feeds cancer. And I personally visited an oncologist's office with a relative of mine and noted that there were plates of cookies and boxes of donuts around for the patients to snack on. It just made me sick. Okay, a couple questions from the chat room. One of them is, Anne, is the drug meth, did it start out as a big pharma drug?
Well, let's see. Ritalin is methylphenidate. It's the chemical name. Antidepressants test out as amphetamine in the blood. And yes, amphetamines did start out as prescription drugs.
Wow.
Amphetamines is what Hitler was on.
No.
No? According to my research, he was, and that's what made him go manic.
I don't think that I don't know of any real concrete research that indicates that. But let's take a phone call. Let's take Rick in Arizona. Rick, welcome to the program.
Yeah. Good morning. Yeah.
Good morning.
I was going to make a comment. You said this kid was on antidepressants. In Newtown, Connecticut. Is that what you hear that too, right?
Pardon me?
They're reporting that the shooter in Newtown was on antidepressants, right?
I believe he was, yes, or in withdrawal from antidepressants. The only drug that they've mentioned is Xanax, which is an atypical antipsychotic. These newer antipsychotics are like a mix of an antidepressant with the older antipsychotic, but we don't know yet. It hasn't been released yet.
You know, I'm kind of wondering if the whole town isn't on antidepressants, because I haven't seen one real legitimate tear coming from anybody's eyes in all the interviews or any of the YouTube videos. That's the happiest crowd I've seen.
Interesting, including that one fella Rick, what was his name? He was Emily's father. What was Emily's
name? Robbie Parker.
Bobby Parker. But take a look at the CNN interviews. I mean, look at some people, their daughter was just shot like 3 days ago, and I don't see any swollen eyes, bloodshot eyes, any real tears. I see, you know, it just kind of reminds me of the British Petroleum oil disaster where there was no oil to be found. I don't see no tears.
You can't cry on an antidepressant. That's true. But
so that's why I think the whole town's on them.
Yeah, it could be. But I thought Robbie Parker showed quite a bit of emotion in that interview. It was all he could do to choke back the tears.
That's what I mean. Everybody is holding back their tears, okay? When my mom died, I cried for fucking an hour, all right? I'm just saying is I haven't seen any real tears on anybody's face out of any of these interviews or anything.
Okay, Ann, you said something about Robbie Parker, that he showed all of this emotion during the interview. But seconds before he went on this interview, he was laughing and yucking it up with the other people, and somebody told him, just read the card. So he got all serious right before the camera went on, and there is a video showing this on YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really, this whole thing is very peculiar, and I don't know. I would just, I'll just put this in the box of other BS stories that have come across the TV in the last 25 years.
Indeed. Well, thank you for your phone call, Rick. Did you have any other comments or questions?
No, that's all. Thank you. Good day.
Uh-huh, you too. All right, this is from the chat room. Are all allopathic doctors really just drug dealers? Aren't they, in fact, engaged in organized crime?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yep. I am.
What do you think?
I think they are. I call them drug dealers all the time because they just, it's so rare that one will actually say, let's see what's wrong with you. It's just, here's my prescription pad and go take this.
Interesting. Well, I've had some serious chats with a doctor. She's a general she's an internist, and I don't go to the doc. I try to avoid doctors at all costs, except for this wonderful doctor down in Texas, Dr. Jerry Tennant, who's actually an integrative physician and really wants to help people. But my regular doctor is just, she just wants to promote pills. And when I have serious talks with her, when she's trying to convince me that I should have a mammogram, I said, why would I want to have a mammogram when they are radiation and radiation causes cancer? And then she gets serious and says, well, okay. All right, we're going to a break. We'll be right back. All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest today is Ann Blake Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. Her websites are drugawareness.org and SSRIstories.com. How long have you been doing this? Obviously for quite some time, if you were testifying before Congress or trying to get the National Rifle Association involved in 1992. How long have you been doing this?
I started the end of 89, 2 years after Prozac was introduced.
Okay.
Longer than anybody I know of. I've testified at every hearing that the FDA has had on these.
Really? How many is that?
1, 2, 3. I think it's 3.
And you always, of course, give a lot of evidence during these hearings. And yet they're not doing anything about it.
I've been testifying in court cases since 92. So, like I said, they do have a black box warning on them, which is the next closest thing to having the drugs banned altogether.
Most people don't read the labels. They don't look at all of the information that comes in a prescription drug or any other thing.
Right. And neither do their doctors. That's the scary part. The doctors don't read them either.
My.
So they don't get the warnings that they're supposed to get. You know what to watch for.
Right. And all the side effects. Now, I know on television they talk about the side effects, but they do it kind of after the fact, after they present all these smiling faces. And it's amazing.
And they read through it as fast as they can, and it still takes them an hour to read them all.
Right.
I mean, this drug will stop you from wetting your pants, but, you know, side effect is death, so...
Right.
But you at least you'll have dry underwear when they bury you.
Right. Every one of us, from time to time, gets sad. All of us have stress. All of us have very busy lives. And I just can't imagine anybody wanting to take a drug to alter their mood. And yet, as you indicated before, people drink to alter their mood. They do it to alter their mood. And you have to ask the question, what is it that is making all of these people want to change their perception or to use some sort of artificial means? Is it because we're deficient in what? What are we deficient in?
These aren't given just for depression. They're given for everything you can think of. You go in and you can't sleep. They give you one of these. You go in and it doesn't seem to matter what the problem is. This is the answer. And they'll convince you that you need to take it. Or they'll convince you that you need to try it. Well, you try it for a couple of weeks. You're hooked. Good luck getting off. So, and they'll tell you that it won't even kick in until 2 weeks on the drug. So don't expect to see any benefit for the first 2 weeks. So by then it's too late and you're hooked and you're a patient and that's it. They've got a customer for life. Unless you know how to get off.
And isn't that kind of what they want for patients for life, yeah. Whether you're talking yeah. about thyroid conditions or heart conditions anything. They want to medicate everybody on the planet for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess that's why they lower the cholesterol standards and all that.
Oh, yeah. Yep, that's exactly. I mean, for a long time, they gave these drugs for bedwetting, the children for bedwetting.
Really?
I've had young people get hold of me and say, thank you so much for your book. I finally understand now what was happening to me. I grew up thinking that I was insane.
Oh, that poor person.
Here they're hallucinating all the time, having no idea that it's their bedwetting medication doing it to them.
Now, you mentioned Ritalin earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is that composed of? And I know they give it to people that they claim are ADD or...
Right. It's the chemical name is methylphenidate. And if I speak to a school and the kids ask about Ritalin, I start with, well, the chemical name is, and I give it to them. And I say, so what is it? And they all holler meth. And I say, well, go home and tell your parents because they haven't figured that out yet. Because it is an amphetamine. And boy, I know I was in my hometown a couple of years back and walked up to the pharmacist to get a package insert on one of the drugs that I was working on a case on. Wanted to see which side effects they'd warned of to that point. And he started in. He said, I'm so sick and tired of seeing all these little kids put on Ritalin. Don't these parents know that those kids will end up drug addicts down the road? He says, there's no reason for that. Kids are active. This is the pharmacist. He was irate. He just went on a total tirade. Just the tirade that he went on was unbelievable.
And yet so many psychologists and psychiatrists subscribe this drug to just about mm-hmm. anybody that walks in their office.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And even school teachers are pushing it. Now, school teachers, are they just trying to calm the kids down so that they're more teachable or so that they don't have to address issues, personality issues, or active kids who are curious about things?
Well, there is a problem with teachers, which is why we have so many of them seducing the male students, the female teachers. And I think I found one case that didn't involve an antidepressant in all of those cases, but initially, when I first started this, I got a report about my own school district that I was in. Thank goodness I was homeschooling my children, because that year they had spent $1.2 million on Prozac prescriptions. An article I did with Salt Lake City Magazine, the reporter knew enough to go check a few stats. She found that 60% of the state employees in the state of Utah in 92 were taking an antidepressant.
Repeat that.
60% of the state employees in 1992 in the state of Utah were taking antidepressants.
Oh, my goodness.
So that, of course, is going to include your teachers as well. But $1.2 million they paid out in Prozac prescriptions through the insurance, through the school district that I was in.
Oh, and of 92. Course. Since you have, since a lot of employment positions are associated with medical insurance, then people can, you know, these prescriptions are very expensive, but if insurance is paying for it, then the people that are going to benefit are the corporations that promote these drugs and create these drugs.
That's
and,
why I'm so opposed to Obamacare, as I've always said that poverty has saved a whole lot of lives because they can't afford the insurance.
Oh.
So they don't get the drugs. But now with Obamacare, even those that couldn't afford the drugs are going to end up on them.
Oh, my. All righty. Another question. Can you suggest certain foods or vitamins, supplements that will help people in lieu of antidepressants?
Yeah, and I do that on the CD, the withdrawal CD. Of course, I do it in the book as well. So I don't know if we get enough time to go into all of those.
Well, go ahead.
Generally, what is wrong that I found out, and I found studies to back that up, is that it is the blood sugar issues that are causing so many of the various mental disorders, and they've known that since the turn of the century. So, number one, balance your blood sugar. Number two, go to bed with the sun and get up with the sun, because your circadian rhythm has a whole lot to do with whether or not you become depressed. And our society, of course, is totally the opposite of that. When I give lectures, I'll often point to the lights up above and say, there's the cause, the biggest cause of depression on the planet, and has been for a long, long time, because we're messing up our circadian rhythm. And those sleep patterns are so important. And like I said before, they can throw you into a blood sugar swing just staying up late one night. You can create a diabetic reaction by staying up late one night. And
wow.
We're just not thinking about that. We don't even think about the impact. It's amazing how little common sense any of us have anymore, because we've been so pulled out of the world that we live in, to live in this artificial world that we have all around us. We really all need to go back to a farm for a while and find out where everything does come from.
Right. And, of course, our mineral levels are so depleted. We're not getting enough iodine. We're not getting enough magnesium.
Right.
We're not getting enough of lithium. We're not getting enough of the minerals. Because
we don't put stuff back into the soil. We take it all out and
right.
don't put it back. We understand that with our bank account. We take it all out, don't put anything back. It just doesn't work. Well, neither does anything else. We're doing it to our bodies. We're doing it to the earth. We're doing it everywhere. We need to stop and see the connections and how the world works, how the laws of nature work.
Right.
And we've just pulled away from that far too far and far too long.
Right. Now, we have about 5% of the population who are psychopathic. Would you, and I think that this has probably gone up in the last 100 years. I don't think that we had the psychopaths running around. But would you attribute this behavior to this situation with interaction of drugs?
Oh, yeah. We've already declared sugar a drug. So, definitely.
Okay.
So, I would definitely include sugar with that. You've got sugar, you've got aspartame, and then we're exposed to so many different chemicals in our, what they tell us is food. And then we go to the doctor and take more chemicals. Of course we're going to run into problems. Psychosis is so simple to understand. In fact, I'm going to put an e-book out right away and explain psychosis to people, because once you understand psychosis, you understand how to get rid of it. And it is not that hard to do. And they've made it into this boogeyman. It's just sad.
Now, as prevalent as these drugs are, and as prevalent as bad behavior is with all kinds of other things, I think people still need to take personal responsibility for what they do. And we cannot blame all of our problems on something that we're taking. Would you agree with that partially or somewhat?
No, probably not, because it has to do with choices, and if you're not informed in making that choice, I don't know that you're held accountable. I think of the Savior hanging on the cross and asking his Father to please forgive those who are taking his life, and the reason he gave, they don't know what they're doing. They know not what they do. If somebody is not capable of knowing what they're doing and literally making the choice of doing what they're doing, can they be held accountable? I've got brainwave patterns that show these people in a total anesthetic sleep state and dreaming while they're talking to you.
Oh, my. Okay, so
now, do
you
think that brain can actually choose right or wrong?
Oh, that's really scary. So you're talking about more than just informed consent. You're talking about, what is it the scriptures also talk about?
The level of consciousness.
Right. About our ignorance is going to kill us.
Okay, let me think.
But I can't think of what
I started
what
to quote something else. I've heard it so many times from so many families that have said, the lack of knowledge will.
Right.
I can't remember.
We got to look that up during the break, because we're coming on.
I think it's on my website.
Well, I have your website right here.
Somewhere.
For lack of knowledge, we are doomed or something.
The people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes, that's it. That's it. And that is so true. And we perish in various ways, either mentally, physically, or both.
It is. And that's all the gospel is about, is a loving Father saying, hey, do this, and you're going to be happy. You don't, you won't. Because he knew how all the laws were set up on the earth, how things worked. He's just saying, look, kids, that's the way you live.
All righty, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest today has been Ann Blake Tracy. She is the author of Prozac, Panacea, or Pandora. Her websites are drugawareness.org and SRIstories.com. And you mentioned that you have a CD. Tell us a little bit about that CD and how people can acquire that.
It's available on our website at drugawareness.org. And you can even just download it. But it goes for about an hour and a half detailing a lot about what the drugs do and how they affect you physically as well as mentally. And then it goes into how to wean properly off of the medications and how to rebuild after using them. Of course, the rebuilding part, if you don't use the drugs to begin with, you just do the rebuilding part to get rid of the depression or whatever symptoms that you're having. Anxiety is also a really easy one. It's amazing to me that they've made these simple things into these monstrous diseases that we have to treat.
Indeed.
When you don't have to do that much to get rid of them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from people, oh, I wish I could go back to before I ever took this drug.
Right.
Because they end up with so many more problems. But, yeah, anyway, the CD is available there. The book is available there. I have people who've read the book get really upset with me that I don't mention it more often. They say it saved their life. It's given them so many answers. And it's true. I don't know where else you can go to find all the information there. I don't know anybody else who's spent 4.5 years gathering all the information that they can gather on these drugs either.
Right. And, of course, you're not
going to get it. We all need to know that much.
Right.
We're surrounded by people on these drugs.
Oh, and it's affecting society in such a negative, terrible, terrible way.
It is, and if people knew who was on what, oh.
I'm sure that probably most of Congress is on some sort of drug.
I know far more than what I want to know are probably on them.
Really? Well, I certainly hope that people will purchase your book and download that audio and talk to their friends. I mean, we all have people in our families who are taking these drugs simply because a white coat said that they should take them. And we need to start start making our own decisions and not going along with these authority figures just because we've all been indoctrinated to be obedient.
Yeah, it's taken me a long time to figure out the reason we've pretty much been left on our own with these is because we're putting our faith and trust in the arm of flesh rather than where it ought to be.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, thank you so very, very much for being on the program today, and we'll have to do this again.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Talk with you tomorrow.